Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This actually is hour number three for Dr. Jerry Mixon and me.
Yep.
And we start every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. If you'd like to find out where that is, you just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button at the top of the page, and boom, you can see where we are for all 4 hours of live call-in Leading Edge Medicine. But for now, the next 2 hours, we're right here on 570 KVI. And that means that we're taking calls for the next 2 hours.
We are.
And anything goes. All the lines are open right now. So if you would like to ask Dr. Mixon a question, here's the number, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. And a little reminder, it does not have to be a question about the virus. It can be. We welcome any question, anytime. This last, the last 2 hours, it was back to more of a normal relationship between the virus and other health questions. So anything goes as long as it's about health. 1-888-312-5757. But because chances are we have a whole lot of new listeners right now, Jerry, I'm going to ask you to kind of do a little review like you did a couple hours ago when we started. What's the latest? What are your biggest concerns? What's the biggest news? Are you encouraged, discouraged? What's going on with the virus?
Well, I am encouraged with the virus. I am discouraged with our governor. I am encouraged in that the data is showing us that this virus is not nearly as fatal as we thought it was. Originally, we were saying it would probably kill 2 to 3% of the people that caught it. We now know the fatality rate is down about 0.2%.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
That's a huge difference.
Yes. Yeah. We were thinking it was 30 to 40 times more deadly than the influenza. It turns out it's about twice as deadly.
Okay. Well, let me I want to ask you a question, because about 7 or 8 weeks ago, when all this craziness really took a grip, you were off mic during a break and you said, you know, the study, I'm not sure about these numbers, about how serious this is going to be. And you made the comment to me sitting right where you are. He said, when this all comes down to the end, I'll bet you it's nowhere near as serious as what we're being told right now. Why did you say that back then?
Because I was starting to get some of the early numbers. The data is being collected. You know, people talk about making decisions based on science, but which science? You know, I mean, originally the projections were we were going to have more than 2 million Americans die.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, well, no, maybe 100,000. Yeah. 100, 120. That's a whole lot different from 2 million. And yeah, this virus, like I said, originally they were saying 20 to 30 times more potent, some maybe even 40 times more deadly than influenza. Turns out it's about twice. Influenza is about 0.1%. This is about 0.2%. So, you know, if 1,000 people get the virus, okay, 2 will die.
Whoa. Boy, that's... That it's still any death is miserable no, we don't and horrible, but that is actually encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, really. But what that's telling us is that we probably overshot with our lockdown, and we are probably being too cautious with our opening up.
Okay, now about 4 weeks ago, you praised our governor,
because,
as did I.
Yes, because he jumped in very early. We were the first state in the union, because we had the first documented case, to close things down. And based on what we knew then, that was a great decision. And I said, good for you, Governor Inslee. I still think you're a flake, and I'm going to vote against you. I'll probably donate money to your opponent. But in this case, you made a good decision. And knowing what we knew then, it was a very good decision. So I'm not going to second guess him now that we know more.
Yeah.
Given what we knew then, he made a good decision. What we know now, he is being way too cautious. He is damaging people's livelihoods far more than he needs to. What we really need to do is we as a society need to put our masks on and get back to work. But instead, he has come up with his own reopening plan, which is far more onerous than the rest of the country. The rest of the country, you had to be getting decreases in the numbers of deaths for 2 weeks, and then you could start opening up. They had three phases. He has made it four phases instead of three, and he has 3 weeks at each stage instead of two. So we will open up about half as fast as the rest of the country, which means there will be twice as much economic damage. Twice as many people will lose their businesses. Twice as many people will go hungry. Twice as many people will not be able to pay their bills following Mr. Inslee's current plan. I am not happy with his current decisions. I was very happy with his early decision.
Yeah.
And I know darn well, people are ignoring him. According to him, it's not until mid-June that we can start traveling out of our homes locally for essential business. Mr. Inslee has clearly not been on a highway recently.
Yeah.
The roads
are busier.
Yes. You compare what's on the road today with what was on the road 3 weeks ago.
That's right. Huge difference.
Huge difference. People are saying, to hell with you, Governor. We're going around and we're going to do stuff. And people are out. And there are people, more people running, more people walking, more people on the sidewalks, lots more people in their cars than there were a few weeks ago. So for him to tell us we are not going to be able to do this until mid-June, he's crazy. I also note that you will not be able to get a haircut until the end of June, according to him.
Right.
But I saw him on TV when he was giving his speech. He has a nice, fresh haircut. Somebody cut his hair in the last month. And I can tell you, he's not going another 6 or 8 weeks before he gets another haircut. So, Governor, you're a hypocrite. You can cut your hair. We can cut our hair. To hell with you. Now, I agree. I'm a special case. My wife cuts my hair. So, I sleep with my barber. But that's a whole different issue.
Well, it is extreme, but it is what it is. You're right. But our businesses, are barbers going to open? I've seen on TV in other parts of the country, for example, there's barbers and spas that are opening and saying, baloney, we're opening.
Yeah. Well, and the barber and the spa, they put on their mask, and the patient wears a mask, and they wear gloves, and they wash their hands between customers. Duh. Okay. That works. He's going to say until stage two, it won't be until the end of this month that stores will be able to do takeout curbside delivery. You still won't be able to go in the store. Well, you walk through downtown Kirkland, all those closed stores will have to stay closed because, these are clothing stores. These are shoes.
And I heard two different reports from two different people that seemed very credible to me. One local restaurant owner who has 8 or 9 big fancy restaurants. He made on a Zoominar, I think it was Thursday, his guesstimation, he said as many as 4 out of 5 restaurants are not going to make it.
No, they're not.
Which seems really dramatic. But then I heard somebody on some national broadcast yesterday say 3 out of 4 restaurants will not make it. That is
sure.
That is unbelievable.
No, these businesses are not coming back, and that's, you know, that's unfortunate. Well, and here's the scary part. Okay, the businesses are going under. That means they won't be paying taxes. That means money coming into the state is going down. There's not going to be as much money to run the state. You want to bet the state does not throttle. They're not going to fire half the state employees.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get paid. The budget is going to stay high. There's just no money coming in. And what's the answer going to be?
An income tax.
An income tax. Yes, we need a great big high income tax in order to meet the state's obligations, because they want all the businesses to go out of business. They just don't want the state to throttle back. My answer would be, if 50% of the businesses are closed, fire 50% of the state workers. And when the businesses can pay their bills, then we can hire the state workers back.
That's way too logical, Jerry.
Well, it's just, you know, if there's half as much money coming in to pay their salaries, you need half as many employees.
Well, okay. It's sometimes it's hard not to talk politics, because this health situation has really hammered us. So, the good news. Well, you shared some of the good news.
Yeah, the good news is that this is going to turn out to be a seasonal virus. It is very susceptible to sunshine and warmth. If you look at all around the world, the closer to the equator, the higher the temperature, the more sunshine they get, the fewer the diseases they get. You get countries like Thailand, which are poor. They do not have sophisticated medical systems. The people live close together. They're out in the street all the time. They've got like 54 deaths total. We have 700 in Washington State. They have 54 in the whole country. Australia, 60 some deaths. Because it's summer down there now. It's the equivalent of our September now so they had the virus come during their summer, and Australia got very, very few cases.
They didn't shut down, did they?
They didn't shut down, and they don't really need to, because they've got, you know, they're not, the virus is not hitting them. The bad side for Washington State is that we don't get a very hot summer. So our milder summer will probably give us much milder viral infections, but not as good as Florida. You know, Florida was expected to be a total disaster because of all the old folks. Florida is primarily retired people. And yet Florida had a very, very mild outbreak. They've done beautiful, despite the spring break influx of people from all over the country bringing the virus in. They did not get overwhelmed. And again, Florida's warm and sunny. So warm and sunny is protective.
And we had a question about masks. We didn't get to it the last hour. I'm hoping she'll call in, or we can talk about it now. The countries that use masks, like, Hong Kong,
yeah,
Taiwan, they're big into masks.
Big into masks and very, very mild infections.
And nothing shut down.
Yeah, masks work. The masks work. Now, the problem is, when this started, we didn't have masks. And we are still too dependent on China for our masks. So, you know, we've kind of got, and that puts, you know, Mr. Trump in a bind. On the one hand, he knows that China is at fault and are a bunch of scoundrels, but we still need them to get our medical supplies.
Yeah.
We need to fix that when this is over.
Between a rock and a hard place there, in many respects, trying to draw that, find the balance. Well, okay. With that in mind, I think we need to go to a break real quickly here. When we come back, we're going to start taking calls. We've got 3 calls, and we are going to get to them. Don't go far. We'll be back before you know it.
And I can tell you that my strength, my energy is great. I have 2 granddaughters who run Green Lake, and I can run right along with them.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
And the whole world smiles with you.
Smiles with you.
And when you're laughing.
When you're laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
Mm, when the sun comes shining through.
Shining through.
When you're crying.
When you're crying.
you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing. Won't you be happy again?
20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, but I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder, Chief Medical Officer of Longevity Medical Clinics, here with us again today. By the way, if you are new to the show, new to Longevity Medical Clinics, we have three clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, one in Tacoma, one in Linwood, and one in Kirkland. So we kind of have you surrounded, trying to make it as easy as possible. And with that, the really big news this weekend, which I did not think, I was kind of bummed out, Jerry, up until yesterday.
Oh.
Because up until, well, actually Thursday, I guess, we only had three of the free health analysis appointments available for the entire month of May. Last Saturday, we talked about the one we had about 25 or 30.
And they all filled up.
And boom, they were gone by the end of Saturday. And because people are realizing there's never been a better time, maybe a more important time to get healthy.
Well, and, let's see. If you don't want to die of coronavirus, you need to be strong, fast, lean, smart. Sexy is just fun.
Well, that just helps.
it makes life worth living.
Anyway, so this is a good time. We've had obviously a whole lot of our listeners, and that's typical. People procrastinate. That's just part of human nature, I guess. But the people who have been meaning to seriously consider longevity, to seriously take control of their health, are realizing, hey, we need to take personal responsibility for our health. Well, they're grabbing up the free health analysis appointments, especially now that we're giving away the two free masks and also $100 worth of longevity supplements if you're willing to come in the month of May now. And with that in mind, there are now, I think it's 33 total appointments that are available in our three clinics. So about 10 or 11 in each of our three clinics.
So Kirkland. We're going to fill those up this week?
I think they'll be filled up by tomorrow, you know. But that's okay. That's the most we're going to be able to do for the month of May. And so that's going to frustrate some of you, but not for the first 33 of you. And if you want one of them, they're obviously available on a first-come, first-served basis. And you get them by going to our website, lmclinic.com. Real simple to do, lmclinic.com. You make your own appointment online. Let's say you click on the Tacoma Clinic, and their schedule will come up on your screen showing each of the free health analysis appointments. Might be Tuesday at 3 o'clock or Wednesday at 10 a.m., whatever it is. Well, you just click on that time slot, and boom, it's yours. Easy, easy, easy to do. So go to lmclinic.com. And again, remember, you not only get the two free tests, which is the whole idea, really, but you also get a free mask, the N95 mask, very important, one for you and for your spouse, your mate, anybody living directly with you in your family home. Also, $100 worth of longevity supplements. So pretty cool. Go to lmclinic.com to do that. All right. Shall we take a call?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go to Redmond and talk with Suzanne. Suzanne, thank you for calling in.
Hi there.
Hello.
You were talking about senolytics earlier on the other station.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And my question is there any way a person can test after they've taken those for a while to see what, if any, impact and how much impact that makes on their aging cells dying?
Yes, there are. There are what are called SASPs, which are these are metabolic products and chemicals produced by senolytic cells. And there are a dozen or so of them that can be measured. And there's no one that is pathognomonic. What you need to do is you measure five or six and you look at the overall pattern. How much of these things are you producing before treatment versus after treatment? The downside with that is that these are not cheap things to do. These are not done in your routine doctor visit. We can't run most of them in our lab. We have to send them out to university and research labs to get them done. So we can measure them. It's in the neighborhood of $1,000 to do the testing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it can be done. Yeah. So, you know, it would be $1,000 or so to test you before we treated you, and then another $1,000 to bring you back a couple weeks later and test you again and look at the difference. So, yes, it can be done. And we have identified those. The problem is getting them done cheaply enough to make it practical. I am working with some labs to try to get the cost down, but I have not been able to negotiate anything yet. So what we have to do at the moment is to look at clinical parameters. In other words, how fast can this person walk? How many stairs can they walk up before they get short of breath? You know, how strong is their grip? What is their blood pressure? And there are a few things we can check. We can check your complement reactive protein. We can check your natural killer cells. So there are some things we can check. But mostly at this point, we're stuck looking at your clinical condition. What they're finding is elderly people that have been treated with these things within a matter of a week or two are stronger, are able to start doing things they could not do before. So, you know, as a clinical picture, that's the information we want, but it would be even better to have laboratory tests. We could say, okay, you have reduced your senescent products by 40% or by 60% or whatever.
Yeah. Well, knowing you and over time, those costs for testing will come down, but
eventually, yeah.
For now,
sure. It's, you know, everything new starts off expensive. We've managed to get the medication cost down from $2,500 to $250.
That was huge.
Yes, that was
basically opens it up to virtually anybody.
Yeah, sure. Now the question is, can we get the testing cost down? Well, if I could do them in my lab, I could get the cost down, but I can't. I don't have the equipment to do that.
Well, do you feel it's critical to test?
You know, I've been under therapy twice now, and I've simply had to go by my clinical response. But, you know,
in other words, you can do more, you can run more, you can lift more.
I can run faster, lift more, and I have a lot less pain in my joints. So for me, the clinical impact was most important for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would certainly like to get the laboratory testing.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that answer your question, young lady?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Betcha. All right. Let's go to Warren. Warren, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. I've got a question about prostate cancer and lycopene.
Sure.
Is it a waste of money to use lycopene tablets?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's something. The lycopene plus some cofactors that we have not identified. What happened was we found years ago, I mean decades ago, that lycopene-containing foods decreased the growth rate of prostate cancers and lowered the risk of getting a prostate cancer. But then, when they did studies on purified lycopene, it didn't work. It didn't help. So either it isn't the lycopene, there's something else in those lycopene-containing foods, or it is lycopene plus some other cofactor in those foods. But it's lycopene-containing foods do indeed seem to help. Lycopene-purified product does not.
Okay, the second question is, how to pertain to that is, you say cooked tomatoes, tomato paste is, you know, good to take. But the question I have is sun-dried tomatoes. Does that qualify?
I don't know. Again, I haven't seen studies. You know, and once more, even the studies on that are looking at how much lycopene is released in the product. And so they're saying that things that have ruptured the cell wall release the lycopene and the other chemicals in the food. So anything that ruptures the cell wall. So if you run fresh tomatoes through a blender, that would probably work just fine. Cooking them works. Freezing them works. I'm going to guess that drying them probably works too, but that's a guess. I haven't seen a study on it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're
Thanks,
welcome,
Warren.
Sir.
Thank you. Hey, well, I think we're going to hold off. Michael from Magnolia has a question about vision and hearing. We're going to hang on to him. Let's go to a break. I don't want to interrupt him halfway through. So we'll go to a break, and when we come back, Michael is next. But I've now got two lines open. So this is when you call. Here's the number, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. Call us right now, and Dr. Mixon will answer your call right after we talk with Michael from Magnolia about vision and hearing loss. Kind of an important question for some of you. So don't go far.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
Hey, that was kind of an interesting testimonial. He was able to throw the baseball 5 or 6 miles
an hour faster.
It was obvious to the catcher. But that's the kind of testimonies we hear all the time. In fact, you were just telling me just a few minutes ago that you ran 5.5 miles instead of 3. In other words, you are active. We hear these kinds of testimonials all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting the golf ball further, being
yes.
able to walk the golf course instead of
ride the
having
cart.
To ride in the cart.
Yeah.
Those kinds of changes seem subtle, but they're quite meaningful.
Oh, sure they are. And, you know, in medicine, we do things called the stand test, for instance. If you sit down in a chair without using your hands, how many times a minute can you stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down?
Ah, okay.
As people get older, that slows way down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because their core strength and their muscles are getting weaker. So, yes, how fast you walk, how far you walk, how many stairs you go in any given time, all these things matter. It makes a big difference in your life, but it also makes a difference in your lifespan. The slower you walk, the earlier you die.
Interesting. When you say it out loud like that, it seems obvious,
mm-hmm.
but when you say it like that,
yeah.
boy, talk about motivation to get your health under control. Ah, anyway, I think this is why there's been this greater demand for our health analysis appointments. And again, we were able to maneuver through staffing changes, additional hours, various things for some of our staff. And so that we were able to open up about almost 11 on average in each of our 3 clinics. Now that's for the rest of the entire month of May.
Sure.
So by this time next week, we're going to have a serious problem for May.
Well, maybe, but as a business standpoint, I don't mind if we fill up our appointments for the month of May this week. It's okay with me.
Yeah, that's okay. So they're available on a first-come, first-served basis. If you want the 2 free tests, and if you're smart, you want those 2 free tests. And but also, we're doing something that we're making available and giving you $100 of longevity supplements also for free, just for coming in for the free appointment, and also a couple of free masks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them, and they are yours if you come on in. So
yep, these are the N95 medical grade masks.
That's right.
You get one for you and one for your spouse. And once more, I'm going to give the same warning I gave in the earlier show. These masks are not toys. They are the N95, the medical grade. What that means, though, is that airflow through the mask is reduced significantly because it filters out 95% of the particles. Well, that means that it is harder to breathe. please do not try to exercise while wearing these masks.
That's a good point.
Do not wear these masks from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. When you're outside walking, you don't need a mask unless you are very close to other human beings.
In a crowd, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, you don't need it when you're driving your car because it's just you and your family in that car. You put on the mask before you go in the store. When you're in the store close to other people, you wear the mask. You come out, you take it off when you get back to your car. There was a lady earlier last week who she put on her mask in the morning. She wore it all day. She was driving her car. She got so hypoxic, that is short of oxygen, because she had worn her mask for 5 or 6 hours straight, that she passed out and drove her car straight into a telephone pole.
Oh.
You know, these are not single-ply bandanas, so pretty please. Yes, you should have the mask. You should be wearing that mask when you go in the store. Please don't try to exercise with it. If you try to run in that mask, it's going to be like you're running at 10 or 11,000 feet altitude.
You'll feel it.
You will feel it.
All right, good point. Let's go to Edmonds and talk with Ellen. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Okay.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about the ophthalmologist you had on your last program. I have macular degeneration, and okay. I wanted to know if that computer glasses that he mentioned would help in any way. And I also want to ask him if taking artificial tear drops would be at all helpful for macular degeneration.
Okay. Artificial tears don't help macular degeneration. They just help the drying of the eye, the tear layer. And they help for brief periods. No.
Okay.
There are some supplements you can use. They're called ARDS 2.
Wait a minute.
You don't need
it. I have to write that down.
Okay.
A supplement called.
Yeah, it's
ARDS 2, isn't it? ARDS?
ARDS 2, I think it is.
I thought there was an E in there, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you go to your drugstore, go to the pharmacist, tell him that you have macular degeneration and you want the ARDS 2 or ARDS 2, and it's a mixture of supplements that have been shown in clinical studies to improve macular degeneration. It's not a cure, but it does make a difference. Okay,
that'd be great. Okay, I have two other questions. Would you repeat the name of the doctor you mentioned? And also, I have been given a mask, M-A-S-K. It's plastic, and you heat it in the microwave. And I wanted to know if that was beneficial or just soothing.
Okay. I would hazard a guess that it's just soothing for, you know, make some muscles relax.
Yeah, that was a silly question. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
But, you know, the gentle heat, on the other hand, may help those lacrimal glands, those glands are in the eyelids too, that might help liquefy the oils. You know, one of the problems as these glands in our eyelids, as we age and if we don't blink and as we don't have adequate fluid and so on, they can actually kind of get, the secretions can get thick and start plugging things up. So, you know, gentle heat might well help to liquefy things. We'll let Dr. Gilbert be the
In fact,
the final
I've got Dr. Gilbert on the line
you
right
have
now.
Him on the line again?
Michael, good. Dr. Right. Gilbert, are you with me, sir?
We have a call here for
good
you,
morning.
Sir.
Good morning. Well, I didn't hear most of what you were saying, Jerry, but it sounds like you're right on the right track. I did hear that the young lady is having some difficulty on the computer, or at least asking if drops would help. Obviously, drops aren't going to help the macular degeneration, but it certainly can help the clarity while you're working on the computer. And you're quite right. Heat, the tears that are the number one determinant of stability, comfort, and clarity are actually have a lipid component. That lipid component means that it's heat sensitive. So as it gets thicker and thicker with age and degeneration, sometimes not related to just aging, heat can help. So heat and the glands actually are on the backside of the eyelid. So that heat for 5 or more minutes is even more beneficial, because it takes a while for it to get through the eyelid to those glands, and then just blinking while you're working.
Okay.
That
and then
helpful.
She was also asking about the supplements for macular degeneration.
Oh, good point, yeah.
Right. So they are the supplements that you want really depend on the exact stage of macular degeneration that you have. But if you have changes in the retina and have been told that you have forms of macular degeneration, then there's really one supplement that has been, no question, is supported by the science, and it's called the AREDS, A-R-E-D-S, and you want to look for a number 2 behind it. So AREDS 2, that's not a brand. That's actually the name of the NIH study that determined the efficacy of that drug of that supplemental configuration. And it has some common things like vitamin C, but the most important thing is it has unusually high amounts of zinc and copper beyond what you'd find in normal supplements, and then also has components of lutein and zeaxanthin. So you can get those from other supplement combinations. However, the zinc and the copper concentrations are generally beyond what you would have in your normal supplements. So adding that to your supplementation, question I'm often asked about that, can I take that instead of my supplements, or should I take it in addition? Question was really answered by research that looked about 50% in the study were took regular multivitamins, 50% took just the AREDS2, and the group with the AREDS2, they performed equally. So it does not matter. I would just add it to your normal regimen, 2 small capsules a day, widely available. Brand is not critical. However, the company's product that was used in the study is the one by Bausch & Lomb called PreserVision.
Excellent.
And then she was asking the name of the ophthalmologist, who is Michael Gilbert.
This guy right here.
Yeah, and so if you want, madam, you need a phone number. Michael, give her your phone number. She's listening.
I'll give it out here. Dr. Michael Gilbert. This is with Northwest Vision Institute, and they are now seeing patients, and the number is 425-450-2020.
We certainly treat a lot of patients with macular degeneration. In fact, my son is joining me this year, and he specializes in diseases of the retina. So we've got you covered.
And again, the phone number in Bellevue for Northwest Vision Institute, 425-450-2020. Thank you. I'm glad you were listening. As soon as she came on with the question, I texted Michael here, and I said, are you listening? He said, yes. And I said, then call in right now, guys. So talk about great radio right here. This is about as up-to-date as you can get. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye, sir.
All right. Well, it's time for a break. So let us take a quick break. When we come back, we had somebody call in that didn't want to go on the air. Maybe nervous. Who knows? There's no reason to be nervous. We don't bite. We don't get upset. We just answer questions. But the question is the keto diet healthy long term? So we'll answer that when we get back. But then we also have a call from Claudia in Bellevue, who has a comment or question about purple COVID toes. Oh, how interesting. Okay, don't go far.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation at 425-654-0258. That's 425-654-0258.
I am so glad I went to a seminar. The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop, but you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what this seminar and longevity will do for you.
With Peter Gunn helping to make my point, I'm driving it in, punching it in. She was talking about the seminars. Well, how long has it been since we've done seminars? 5-6 months at least. And we're probably not going to be doing a whole lot of seminars in the future. Some specialty seminars, yes. Specialty gatherings, specialty webinars, like the Senescent Cell webinar that is being worked on right now. Oh, I'm really getting excited about that one. But that's why we do the health analysis appointments, and we make them free with the 2 free tests. So, no, you can't go to a seminar anymore, especially with the pandemic. They're illegal. But there is something that you can do if you missed the seminar. We put together this 8 months ago. We put together a video called Introduction to Longevity. It's about 45 minutes long. And you just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and watch the video called Introduction to Longevity. You'll love it. It's basically the who, what, where, why, and when of longevity. And I really encourage you to watch it. It's fascinating. Lots of charts and graphs and facts and statistics. I think Dr. Mixon just does an incredible job. You will love every minute of it. I promise you that. Again, go to lmclinic.com. And right on the homepage, I think over on the right-hand side, we have some videos listed there. It's called The Introduction to Longevity. But on that same homepage, you can also push the button to schedule your free health analysis appointment. So go ahead and do that, too. There's only so many left. I've already told you about that, so I'm done with that. But, again, all available on our homepage at lmclinic.com. Okay, is the keto diet healthy long-term? Jerry.
Well, yes, sort of.
The keto diet is first, okay, for those that don't know.
Okay. The keto diet is named because the purpose of the diet is to make you ketotic. When we burn fat instead of sugar, because glucose, blood sugar, is our standard fuel for most of our body. So you eat, and it doesn't matter whether you're eating bagels, potato chips, or steak, eventually you convert it to glucose, to blood sugar. And that is the fuel your body burns to stay alive. If you don't have enough glucose to burn, your body shifts over to burning fat. In the process of burning fat, you produce ketone bodies. That's where the name comes from.
All right.
Okay. And so if you are dieting tightly enough that you are burning fat instead of sugar, you are going to spill ketones in your urine. And there's a little strip we can give you that you pee on the strip and it changes color and it tells you how many ketones you're producing, little or a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any diet that is burning fat instead of sugar produces ketosis. That is, you're making ketones. The keto diet is a diet designed specifically to deprive you of the things that you make sugar out of easily. It's a very low carbohydrate diet that is very rich in fats and proteins. Fats and proteins don't go to sugar very easily, and so you are burning the fat. And if you're burning fat, you are ketotic, hence the name ketone. Keto diet.
So lots of bacon, butter, and beef.
Pork, chicken, fish.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. very little in the way of breads and pastas and rice and, you know, simple carbohydrates. Now, the question is, how healthy is that diet? Well, that depends in part on what do you mean by long term, and healthy in what way. Remember Dr. Mixon's rule? Anything strong enough to help is also strong enough to hurt. There are downsides to every decision we make in life, and that includes healthcare decisions. When you are on a keto diet and you are very short on carbohydrates, you will almost certainly lose weight. You will get leaner. Losing body fat is healthy. Okay? Lean, strong, fast, those are our goals. Fat, especially abdominal fat, produces more than 80 different destructive enzymes, peptides, and hormones. So abdominal fat raises your risk of heart attacks, strokes, dementia, diabetes, osteoarthritis, depression. It's just a miserable thing. Body, abdominal fat is dangerous and destructive. Anything you do to lower the amount of abdominal fat you've got is going to improve your health to that extent. The downside, you are loading yourself with an enormous amount of fat. There is a very good chance that your cholesterol will climb significantly.
Interesting. Okay.
If you are running high cholesterol levels, high lipid levels in your blood, and you're burning that fat, that part is good. But if you have oxidation products, if you have free radicals, if you are not exercising properly, you can probably increase the rate of atherosclerotic plaque that you're forming in your blood vessels, which will increase the long-term risk of heart attacks and strokes. So it's a trade-off. Okay. I don't object to the keto diet at all. If I've got a diabetic I'm having trouble controlling, this will bring their blood sugar down very nicely, which is of great benefit. If I've got somebody that's trying to get rid of some of their body fat, I have no objection to the keto diet. It's a great thing. But as a long-term, lifelong lifestyle issue, the high fat intake worries me some, because you are loading your arteries with a big load.
Okay.
So, okay?
Sounds good. Excellent response. Now it's time to go to Bellevue and talk to Claudia. Hello, Claudia. Glad you called in.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
How can I help, ma'am?
Okay. My sister-in-law informed me that my brother-in-law, her husband, came down with what was diagnosed as a coronavirus, and it presented with the purple toes, which were very painful and very itchy. And evidently, this is in Bend, Oregon, and he's 58 years old, not a child. And the wife called the hospital. They said, don't come in, but diagnosed it over the phone that way. Mm-hmm. And I after that, I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find any information about adults. Okay. And the last I heard that she said that he had been kind of fuzzy, as she termed it, for a few days, but his toes are still kind of itchy. And I was just wondering if you could shed some light on this purple toe connected to the COVID virus that we're hearing about. Thank you.
One of the problems with COVID virus in midlife people, and this has mostly been people in their 40s to early 50s, there is an increased risk of strokes and heart attacks. And the virus appears to increase coagulation factors in the blood. So people, even in the relative youth that we would not normally consider to be high risk of dying, do have an increased risk of clotting. And so if I saw, a man in his 50s with purple toes and COVID positive, he's probably forming blood clots in some of the small vessels in his feet and legs and toes. And that's the purple tells me there's not enough oxygen, not enough oxygenated blood getting to those toes. And, unless he's very short of breath and coughing and got a pneumonia, it's more likely to be the hypercoagulable state, and he's got some blood clots down there that we don't want him to have. In which case, my next choice would be, if it were my patient, I would say, yes, stay home, don't come to the hospital, don't spread it to the staff, but we probably ought to put you on an anticoagulant of some sort. And that can be something as simple as an aspirin a day, all the way up to something like the Eliquist.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I don't know the technical term, but hemolytic anemia.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Well, hemolytic anemia is a scary and sometimes fatal condition in which you're actually causing the blood vessel, or not the blood vessels, the red blood cells in your body to rupture. They're dying and disintegrating, and we call that hemolysis. And you get anemic from, and that, of course, can overload your kidneys with proteins and put you into kidney failure in some cases. So,
not sure what else we can say there, Claudia, but obviously...
He needs a doctor.
He needs a doctor. Definitely appreciate the call. Okay, hey, we're going to have a couple of minute break here for top of the hour news and station ID, and we will be back for hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Do not go far. Some good stuff coming.